And we're going to start, if you want to take your Bibles, and we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to share on the subject of the eyes of our understanding. The eyes of our understanding. And as we know, God perfectly wonderfully made our bodies, and we have these two things in our head called eyes, and they're physical. And they, as you know, they, if they're working, transmit whatever's in the five senses realm, an image into the brain so the brain can see what's going on out there. And they generally work very good. But they only work if there is some type of light available. If we're in pitch dark, if we're in darkness, they don't work so well. And as an example of this, I'd like to prove this. Connie, the male Connie, if you would stand up. And what I'd like, you can, I guess, come right over here, and you got to take your glasses off. And you're going to close your eyes, and I'm going to hold something in front of you that you're probably pretty familiar with, and I want you to just tell everybody what it is, okay? So it's now in front of you. Just go ahead and just say what it is.
A bowl of fruit.
Incorrect. All right, now, without opening your eyes, put your glasses back on. You know, glasses do help us see, right? All right, now we're going to keep your eyes. You're going to keep your eyes closed. We're going to do the same thing. I'm going to change parts because who knows? You might have sort of saw what I did. So, just to keep this very clear, I just want you to tell me what's being held in front of you.
A wristwatch.
What's being held in front of you?
It's a doily.
Okay,
that's
so
a big watch.
So now with the eyes open, you could see it. In darkness, couldn't, right? Thank you for cooperating here. I mean, it's a very simple thing, but it's just kind of
give a bowl of fruit.
Right.
Watch.
So the eyes show the reality of what's in the physical realm, our physical eyes. And but God's Word does say there's another set of eyes that we have, and those are the eyes of our understanding. And those are a little different. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about those eyes. It's not literal. Verse 18, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." The word understanding in every critical Greek text is the word for heart. So it's literally the eyes of your heart being enlightened. And then God goes on to show three things that he wants his people to know by way of their eyes of their heart being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. So he wants us to understand the hope. The next one is, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is the other one. You know, what we have been made in Christ Jesus, the great things that are the saints have as an inheritance from him. And number 3 in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And so he also wants us to be enlightened, have the eyes of our heart to understand his great power to those who believe. So the eyes of understanding is not physical, it's a perception. It's not literal, it's figurative, but it is the perception of information that the brain receives, and then in our the heart of our brain, our mind, we can perceive what information is given to us from God. And God wants us to see these things. Let's go to back up a little bit, verse 15. And here's a prayer by revelation that Paul writes to the Ephesians, and it's really to God's people overall. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him, and that the eyes of your heart or of your understanding may be that they're enlightened, and then that we may know those three things that are listed. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. So there's physical eyeballs, and generally they work. Generally. Sometimes we need aids to get them to work sharply. And then there's this eyes of our understanding, the eyes of our heart, the spiritual, in the spiritual sense. You know, God wants us to know of his grace. He wants us to know of his love. He wants to know of his goodness. He wants to know of his healing abilities. He wants us to know of eternal matters. Acts chapter 26, and this is Paul speaking about what had happened to him when he went on the way to when he was on the way to Damascus, and his eyeballs were really completely closed as to what God had wrought in Jesus Christ's resurrection and the things of the day of Pentecost. Paul's, who you saw at the time, his eyeballs were on the Old Testament. And not even correctly. And his eyeballs were completely shut to what, who the Lord Jesus Christ was as the Son of God, as the Lord, as the Savior, and what God was working in that day and time to make the Spirit of God available to people. His eyeballs were totally shut. And Jesus witnessed to him on the way to Damascus, as we know. And here's part of his recounting of what that was. In verse 15, we pick it up, and he's referring to Jesus talking to him. He says, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Asshole? No. Sorry. That's in italics. Sometimes applied correctly. Verse 16, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." And here's what he wanted him to do, the purpose of this whole thing. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And that was the purpose of Paul's ministry, that God would be able to have reveal information to Paul, and Paul could teach that. And he Paul stayed very, very, very faithful to that his entire life. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Paul, as we know, his Hebrew name was Saul. He was definitely in darkness. He had, as we know, he had persecuted a lot of believers in the Jerusalem area, people who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tortured him, he put him in prison, he tried to get him to denounce. he was a terror. He had heard the word Jesus, and he had heard the word Christ, and he heard them both at the same time. He heard the word Lord. He heard those words, but he was completely blind to what all that meant in God's perspective until that day. And so being in darkness is something about you just can't see. Like Connie proved, even with his glasses on, he still couldn't see. Glasses or no glasses, if you're in darkness, you don't see. And here's a record of Luke about prophecy concerning John the Baptist, first man of God, or first man sent by God in 400 years for the children of Israel. And it was an incredible day. And in verse 79, one of the things that was given, listed as to what he would do for Israel, verse 79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Those people for hundreds of years had been sitting in darkness. They had, for the most part, rejected the truths of God's word in the Old Testament, the prophecies concerning Christ, sitting in darkness, that just totally can't see what God was working in the circumstances. Just like Paul was, he was in darkness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Darkness and light. God's word does talk about those two items quite often. Darkness usually referring to, if it's not physical, it's usually referring to a spiritual darkness, and light referring to God, or the physical would be sunlight, or starlight, or moonlight, whatever. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, talking about the devil, the adversary. Here is listed as the god of this world. Verse 4 says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there's a contrast here between darkness and not seeing, and light and being able to see, or to be able to understand. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I've always enjoyed this record. That's such a great record. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's with Elijah. And Elijah had given the king of Israel some information of how to protect themselves against the Assyrians. And by revelation, and the king of Assyria was getting a little upset about this and found out that the information was coming from Elijah. So he sent some of his army to go get Elijah, and we're going to pick it up in verse 14. It says, Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about, which is where Elijah was. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Elias, my master, how shall we do about this? How shall we do? Be almost like somebody getting up in the morning, they go walk their dog outside, and they find out there's 1,000 military surrounding their house. 1,000. Hey, you go back in. Hey, I think we got a problem out there. What are we going to do about this? And he answered, verse 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that kind of shocked the guy. It's like, okay, sure. Yeah, I saw a lot of people out there. And I see you and I see me. Verse 17, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. So there were two different types of vision. His eyes were totally shut. They were in darkness concerning what was God was doing, and God opened his eyes. So this happens to be by revelation. But there's other times where it's just the truth of God's word that finally hits us. You know, our eyes become open unto it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now there's a phrase that's used quite often in our culture. If somebody's talking to you and they're explaining some things, you may have heard people or used it yourself, you may say, oh, I see what you're saying. Does that mean that literally you're seeing the words come out of a person's mouth? Or do you mean, I understand what you're saying? I have a perception of what you're saying. So, two types of seeing involved. And we're in Matthew 16, and we're going to go to verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, what's the word out on the street of who I am? Some type of English there. Verse 14, and they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Some of them say, he's one of the prophets. I don't know which one. He's one of them. And saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So how he got that information wasn't by the physical eyeballs. He didn't see a sign that said, with a picture toward Jesus, Son of the living God, just repeats it. God showed him, hey, the guy that you're with, he's my son. Somehow or another, he communicated that to Peter. And Peter absolutely knew it. He understood. He was no longer in darkness to that particular truth. Let's go to John 18. This is Jesus standing in front of Pilate. I don't know what airline he worked for. But it was probably some Italian one. He was Roman, right?
Yeah. Spirit.
Huh?
Spirit
Airlines.
Possibly.
I've been around you too long.
That's trouble.
Verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Imagine Jesus Christ standing in front of you. And then you have the ability, civil authority, to say, hey, come on over here. I want to talk to you. And he comes. You know, there's the Son of the living God, the Redeemer of mankind, the promise from Genesis 3:15, all through the prophets of the Old Testament. He's live and in color, and he's doing the will of God, and you have the opportunity to talk to him. It must have been amazing. And his eyeballs were wide shut. So, verse 34 again, Jesus answered, sayest thou, art thou the king of the Jews? Verse 34, Jesus answered him, you say this thing of thyself, or did somebody else tell you this? You think this about me, or is this something your people have said about me, you think? Verse 35, Pilate answered, I a Jew, thine own nation, and chief priests have delivered thee into me. What hast thou done? I'm not involved with your stuff here. What the heck did you do? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Hey, if I was a king, if this was my kingdom, you wouldn't be holding me hostage here. You know. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should hear witnesses unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? It's amazing to ask that question. He's standing in front of the man that said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and life. I mean, he was the epitome of truth, and he's standing right in front of him. It'd be like Jesus Christ standing right in front of Connie, and Connie can't see it. Right in front of him. Amazing. So, Pilate, we don't know whether Pilate ever recognized it later in life. I don't know. I don't think the scriptures say one way or the other, but maybe he did. Who knows? Sure would have been an awakening at that point when he said, holy smokes. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. You know, we take our eyeballs for granted. We just see all kinds of stuff in the physical realm. And we do understand a lot of God's Word. And our eyes have been opened to a lot of truths of God's Word. But there are billions of people on this earth. I don't know how many of them are, aware that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He's the Lord. God made him Lord. God loves him. I don't know how many people know. Acts 28, verse 26 and 7. This is Paul towards the end of his time in Rome, in his place, and he had seen people for the past 2 years, or was seeing people for years, a couple of years there, teaching God's Word, and a lot of the Jewish people came to see him. And in verse 26, it says, verse 25, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So that's the prophecy from the Old Testament on Isaiah, and he's quoting it to these guys that had, he just gave them a good dose of who Jesus Christ was, and they're like all over the place on it. Remember, he was in that spot. If those scriptures didn't like ring to his own heart, like, wow, I was there. Hey, guys, I was there. I couldn't tell you anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Another very familiar section of God's Word. This is two men on the road to Emmaus, right after the crucifixion, and right after the resurrection. And Jesus, they're walking, talking, the two of them. And in verse 13, we're going to pick it up. And this is, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. So their eyes were covered, so to speak. They were held back from perceiving that this is the Lord Jesus Christ here. The guy we just got done talking about. He's right here. Standing right in front of you. But they didn't recognize him. Verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, this is the funny part. What things? He had a little sense of humor. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. You know, we thought that was going to be the guy. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen, that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Now that was Peter and the other disciple that was a faster runner. So they've heard some news about the resurrection. They're still sad. Verse 25, and he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now they still don't know who he is. But they constrained him, saying, well, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. You know, you've had a really rough week. Why do you hang out with us? They still, their eyes were still closed. They constrained him, abide with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were, what? Opened. And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Why it took till that moment, I don't know. There might be something in it, but that's when they finally said, holy smokes, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as soon as that happened, whoop, he's gone. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And here's the key why they saw. Because of that. You know, they believed it. And that's why their heart was burning within them. If they were like the people we just read of in Acts 26, where they're, you know, just saying, no, Paul, that's not right. Those people walked away still with eyes that could physically see but could not spiritually perceive. These guys believed what they heard, and for whatever reason, it took the breaking of bread for it to finally all come together. Verse 32, and they said one to another, well, I read that. And verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. Must have been a great day for these guys. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that it had been a spirit. And he said to them, why are you so troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. Handle and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while that they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you got anything to eat? He's doing anything again to prove to these guys, hey, it's me and I'm alive. Can you imagine, you know, I just don't know how it all worked, but he showed him his hand because that's where they threw the nails, you know. And it's still, their physical eyes are seeing it, but their spiritual perception is still a little dark here. And when he, verse 42, and they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. So it's pretty, quite wonderful. So the apostles believed. Let's go to, eventually they got it together. Let's go to Psalm 119. Well, what a moment that must have been for those two men on the way to Emmaus. Cleopas and the other guy. Yeah, just incredible. Here is a scripture that should be our prayer constantly. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now just help open my eyes, God, so I can behold the greatness of your word. We don't want the word right in front of us and we just don't see it.
What verse was that?
119:18.
Oh, 18.
It's just wonderful. And lastly, we're going to Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Chapter 1, verse 9, very similar to Ephesians chapter 1, what we read. Verse 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know, that our eyes, spiritual eyes, would understand the truths of God's word. That, reason being, you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son. You know, these are things that God just wants us to understand and to see and to acknowledge. And we are a very blessed group of people. You know, when I think there's 3 or 4 billion people on Earth, somewhere around there.
Six.
More than a million.
Six, John said.
Six? 6 billion? We doubled it already. 6 billion? Wow. Now, of those 6 billion, how many do you really know have a real good working understanding of God's word? Probably very few, unfortunately. But we happen to be, there's a whole room full of them. And we are in a good spot. But we want to continue to acknowledge God and to see the greatness of his word and to share it with others. Our eyes have been opened up onto a lot of stuff. We don't want to be like the scenario with Gehazi, when we see all this stuff and then we say, oh, we're in trouble. You know, Elijah had to say, no, we really aren't. We have this going for us. And then he asked God to show his servant that. So when big things that seem big things come to us, that are thrown to us from the world or from within our own bodies, doubts, worries, fears, whatever, you've got a bad ache in your body or in your soul, you're aware of it, right? Usually aware of it. But are we also aware of what God's word says concerning the truth concerning that? It's just God wants us to know that He's bigger than whatever else is out there. He wants us to know of His love. He wants us to know of His goodness. And so, you know, do our eyes recognize that when the situation comes up? Do our eyes say, yeah, God definitely more powerful than this thing is? Or His love supersedes anything that the world has that's hate. Whatever. I mean, whatever our need may be. Remember David when he approached Goliath and he said, just so you know, I'm coming to you. Because Goliath told him, you know, you're just like a little dog here. And he said, yeah, okay, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God. Whatever else he told him. Basically, he said, you know, I got God standing right there. Back. You see him back there? He's right there. That's what he looked at. He was pissed when he heard Goliath proclaim for 40 days, night and day, that, you know, give me a man, we're going to fight. And people ran. And he said, wait a minute, you're disdaining the army of the living God? Mm-hmm. No way am I going to put up with that. So, you know, we want to see what God's Word says concerning our lives. And with glasses or without, yes. If your eyes are shut, you don't see anything. But when our eyes open up to the truth of His Word, it's just great. So, you know, when hatred or, you know, you want to think negative things towards people, you know, think, okay, what? Look at Paul when he was after those Christians. He was a terror. I mean, and very sincere, but what a terror he was. And the cringe in his heart when he finally realized what he had been doing must have been incredible. But I bet you God comforted him. I bet you God said, look, you're forgiven. It's okay. I understand. I was trying to help you. I could say I could have told myself. But he must have done something for his heart that he got rid of that. He didn't carry it anymore. Completely got rid of it. And the believers that were around him forgave him. It's amazing. You know. So, we just want to open up our eyes to the truths of God's Word and not allow the darkness that may be around us or in us to kind of blind it. So.